Just before we look at our morning sermon, we have one more announcement, and I'm going to call on Luke if he will come and just share that briefly.
Good morning, everyone. So I've been going up to Sundance, or the Sunchild Missions, and helping out there. And they could really use some more help this coming weekend, Saturday the 13th. I'd like to get a crew of workers together to help put up an airplane hangar. We need a bunch of guys and women that can help come out and help put up tin on the walls, the roof, and there's even a fence we have to build. So if you're able to come and help, that'd be awesome. We're going to meet at the church here at 8:45 and try to leave by 9. There's a sign-up sheet at the back. It'd be nice to know how many are going to come and help. And any other questions, you can come and talk to me after service. Thank you.
Thank you, Luke, and thank you for so many of you that shared this morning. It's, you know, it's interesting as we look at the body of Christ and how God leads different individuals into different areas according to the gifts that he's given them, how the body is responding. And our message this morning is really focusing on the body, and we're looking at an aspect of the body. I've entitled the message Commitment Phobia. What does belonging to a church, a local church, really mean, a local church body? And before we look into the word, let's just bow our heads and our hearts and pray. Father, I'm so thankful for this particular body, this local body of Christ. We know, Lord, that we are just a part of the body of Christ in Rocky Mountain House. And you have called different people to different groups, denominations, we call them. But Lord, with the common bond of Jesus Christ, of you, as what binds us all together. And Father, we know that you call us to belong to a group of people. Lord, and there's many different reasons for that, and we're going to look at those today. I'm just so thankful, Lord, that you have called this group here. And I just pray that as we look into your word today, as we look at this topic, that you would just speak clearly to each of our hearts, Lord, about how we can use our gifts, our talents, our passions, how we can use what you've given us for yourselves, and how we can work together for the betterment and the growth of the kingdom of God in our area of the world and in our world indeed. So just bless your word, Lord, as we look at it briefly this morning. May we hear from you. May we hear what you are calling us to respond to, what you're calling us to do. And we just thank you in your precious holy name. Amen. Well, you know, it was interesting as Steve was talking about the blessing of the weather this morning. All around me, I could hear little voices. Yeah, but that's changing tomorrow. And I just want to say this, it is changing tomorrow, so I hear, for a couple of days, but I also heard that we're going to get some nice weather yet, so don't be bringing out your snow shovels yet. We're still expecting more great weather in Rocky here for the next coming days. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12, if you can. You'll notice in your bulletins that there is a little sermon note section this morning. And I also have a PowerPoint as well to go along with it. If you find that that helps you to focus, then do take notes. Do that. It would be awesome to do that. But over the next 4 months, and I say over the next 4 months, there's a reason for that, we're going to be looking at, and not all during this time, but we're going to be looking at aspects of Mark Deaver's book. And it's 9 marks of a healthy church. And this morning I'm looking at one of those marks of a healthy church. Some of your elders are going to be speaking over that 4-month period. And that's part of the reason why we extended it over the 4 months, because some of them just weren't ready to start this month. And so we're trusting that God is going to give them the time and ability to interact with the topic that they've chosen. From now till January, I guess, and that we will learn some things about the biblical understanding of various aspects of a healthy church and what that all means. Romans 12, 3 and 10. And I got to admit that Tuesday morning in the Men of the Word, I slept in. And this was part of the chapter that we looked at that morning, or the people that were there looked at. But it says this, beginning with verse 3. Think of yourself with sober judgment, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is in serving, let him serve. If it is in teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Well, today we're going to look at a subject and one of the chapters in this book that is dealing with the whole topic of church membership and what that means. What it means to belong to a local body of Christ. And you all know, many of you know, I'm sure most of you know, that when you look at the New Testament church some 2,000 years ago, churches ranged in size from little house churches right up to larger bodies, I guess. And they probably weren't as large as our body or as some of the bodies we see in North America are today. They were more smaller bodies, but they did have various sized churches. And that's no different than today. This message applies whether we're a house church or whether we're a larger body. And I trust that as we look at what membership in a local body is all about today, it doesn't matter where you go. Some of you may be visiting. You may be a part of a big church or a smaller church. This applies to you as well in whatever church body you are in. George Barna, who I refer as Mr. Research Study and Public Opinion Poll, has pointed to a statement as one of the top five pieces of irony in all the studies that he has done over the years. And George Barna has been in the business of doing research studies for years and years and years. And one of the studies found this, and it was in the late 1990s, probably about 1998, I believe. He said that only 43% of adults who say they are Christians are absolutely committed to the Christian faith. Let me read that again. Only 43% of adults who say they are Christians are absolutely committed to the Christian faith. You know, I find that interesting because that stat, from what I understand, has actually dropped even more. But when you look at this, that means that 57% of the people in North American churches who call themselves Christians are not really committed to the Christian faith as they should be. And Barna sees this as a real piece of irony. Those who call themselves Christian are not following through on this particular verse that we're going to read right now. And there are many verses in Scripture that we can point to, but I'm just going to read one. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." You know, that's what living the Christian life is all about. Denying ourself, denying our cross, denying the things that are important to us, and following Christ. And taking up our cross and following him, being ready for anything that can befall us in life. Well, what is George Barna saying when he states that this low commitment level is one of the top five pieces of irony that he had ever done in his studies up to that point? He's saying that at least 57% of Christians don't match up to what they do. What they say doesn't match what they do in life. He's saying for some of us, our commitment to Christ is mere lip service. And he's also saying that there's no way that those 57% of people are committed to Christ, and that people all around us are seeing this as visible hypocrisy. Well, you know, statistics today point to this being an age that we could call commitment phobia. And I really believe commitment phobia has gotten worse instead of better over the number of years that I've been alive, and it continues to go that way. Barna would define, or Deaver would define, commitment phobia as the fear that when we promise to do something good, we may miss out on something better. And in other words, he's saying that we should keep our options, or a person that suffers from commitment phobia believes that they should keep their options open. Something better may come along, and so they shouldn't really get involved. You know, I don't think that we in Rocky can say that it's any different here, and it doesn't matter where you are in North America, you see this in play. I'm not sure what's behind all this. Maybe our affluence, maybe our culture, maybe a whole pile of things are behind this. Maybe just our desire to really pay attention to our families and to those that God has entrusted us with. And it gets into the way of what our committing to a local body and perhaps to other areas as well. But this reality has hit our churches full force. And noteworthy is that other churches in North America are suffering the same thing. Deaver himself says in this particular book that only 25% of the people in his church in Washington are members. And I think that's the same pattern as we have in terms of our church. About one quarter of those who may call our church home, their home place of worship, only one quarter are what we would call members of the local church. Most people in Alberta, and I've shared this before, would attend church approximately one out of three Sundays. And we realize summer is a different kettle of fish, but that just seems to be a stat that's hitting our churches. Well, many of us come from backgrounds where we didn't become church members because the Bible doesn't specifically say, thou shalt become a church member. You know, if you're looking for a verse in the Bible that says, that can point to that and say, you need to be a church member, then you're not going to find it. But I'm here to say this morning that there are many, many references in Scripture that point to the fact that we need to commit to a local body, and we're going to look at some of those this morning. You know, it's amazing how many times I've heard this statement over the years. And I know in talking to some of you about membership, I've heard this. And some of you have broke the cycle and have become members, and you've gotten out of this camp. There perhaps are others that haven't, I'm not sure. But I don't know what you feel, but I do believe this statement that Deaver makes. He says, getting the concept of church membership right is the key to revitalizing our churches and furthering the cause of Christ. When we get this concept of church membership right, he says that we're going to find that it's going to revitalize our church, and it's going to help our church in its task of furthering the cause of Jesus Christ in our community and in our world. Well, to address the topic of church membership, we need to ask ourselves three simple questions. First of all, what is a church? Secondly, why join a church? And thirdly, what's all involved in church membership anyhow? Well, let's go through these and look at them very simply and very matter-of-factly. What is a church, first of all? A church is primarily a body of God's people. Doesn't matter whether it's a body of 200 people or a body of a house church where there's 15 people. It's a group of God's people. It's a group of people who profess and show by their actions that they've been saved by God's grace alone. You know, we talked about that in relation to communion and the verses that Stephen read this morning in Ephesians, bring that out clearly, that it's God's grace alone that brings us to salvation. And that group of people, that local church body, any local church body needs to understand that, that it's God's grace alone that saves us. It's a group of people who are saved for Christ's glory by faith alone in Him. That's what we're asked to do. We're asked to be, place our faith in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary for us. We're asked to place our faith in Jesus Christ alone. And that's part of what being a church is all about. Well, a definition of what a church is says this: a church, or the church, is the collection of people in a local area, like Rocky Mountain House. The overwhelming number of passages in the New Testament refer to a church as a local, living, and loving collection of people committed to Christ and committed to each other. Paul, in talking about his service for the church, says he labors for the sake of Christ's body, which is the church, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Ephesians 5:23, we read this: Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. And then Ephesians goes on to say, Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. You know, I can look at myself, I can look at everybody here and say that just in our natural, none of us are holy. But through Christ we are. Through what He's done on the cross, He has made us holy, and He looks on us that way, and we need to grow in holiness in our Christian lives. One of the most important verses in the Bible on the church and why we should be members, and I think, contrary to what I said earlier, that this verse does talk about being a member. It's Ephesians 5:29. It says this: Christ cares for the church, for we are members of His body. You know, being members of a local church is being an extension of being a member of Christ's body. And that's what it's all about. And so when we think of the concept of membership, it isn't something that should frighten us or drive us away or say, I don't want to be one of those. It should be something that is attractive. And we're going to look at, more further at why that is the case. As members of Christ's body and each other, we need to be people who are committed to Christ, first of all, and secondly, to each other. You know, we've talked about that in the Men of the Word study this summer. We've talked about that in our prayer times, in various prayer times we've had over the past while. We need to be members of Christ, and we need to be members of each other. And we need to be helping each other to grow in our Christian faith and to be all that God intends us to be. The church is and needs to be a covenanted community of believers. We need to be in covenant with each other. And when we have a membership Sunday and we talk about that, that's what we talk about from up here, front here, is that we're covenanting to say, I'm going to be accountable to the body, and the body is going to be accountable to me. That's what it's all about. That's what we want each of us to experience in being a part of a local church. The church needs to be a covenanted community of believers. It is composed entirely of believers and is the body of Christ, the local collection of Christians committed to Christ and to each other. Obviously, the bigger the location, the more local churches there will be. And so if we look in Rocky, we know that there are many local churches because it seems simply unfeasible for piles of people to get together in one setting. It would be wonderful if that was the case, but it just doesn't work that way. The local church, as we've said, can be a house church. It can be something small or big. But the key is this: we need to be committed to each other and to Christ. And if we're not, then we're not doing it right, and we need to really examine or re-examine our view of what church membership is all about. The second question we need to ask is the question, why join a local church? Why become a part of a local church body? Why become a church member? Well, the big reason is this: church membership helps us to understand what Christ is calling us to do as his disciples. And we can do that in a collective group and help each other grow in that to do a better job of it. Mark Dever says, he talks about five good reasons to join a local church that is Christ-centered in its approach, and that the gospel is the key area. He first of all talks about accountability. He says that when we become members of a local body, we are asking brothers and sisters in the Lord to encourage us, to hold us accountable, and to challenge us, but to do that in a respectful manner. And we need to be brothers and sisters in a body that allow each other the privilege and the opportunity to do that. And that's a hard thing to grow into. And I think we're growing in that area in our body, but we can do a better job. We're covenanting together to follow Jesus Christ. We're agreeing to help and encourage each other for the sake of Jesus. Secondly, another good reason he cites for joining a local church that's Christ-centered revolves around the whole area of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing the good news with others and helping others do the same. You know, I'm going to say this, and I hope the elders aren't upset with me about saying this, but you know, one of the things in becoming an elder, and we've got a whole new group of elders with the exception of Dawn and Regan on the elders board now. But one of the things that each of the guys expressed was fear in getting up here and saying something in front of the congregation, whether that be a message or whether that simply be announcements. And I got to say, the two guys that have done it the last 2 weeks have done an awesome job. I don't know what they're worried about. But I know that we have those natural fears. And it's the same thing with sharing the gospel. We have fears about sharing the reality of Jesus Christ with our friends and neighbors. But friends, we can encourage each other in that process and help each other become better at that. We're partnering together to basically share the Great Commission of Matthew 28, verses 19-20. Excuse me. And the great commandment of Matthew 22, verses 37-40, which tells us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, strength, and soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Friends, we need to help each other in learning how to do a better job of that. Only God's Spirit working in and through us can use our lives to love, to preach, and to demonstrate the gospel of Jesus in a world that desperately needs him. Thirdly, Dever says that another good reason for joining a local church is that it helps to, that we are showing that salvation is through Christ alone. In other words, we see a plurality of beliefs around us where people are pointing to all types of ways that they can get to heaven. Being involved in a local church helps us to keep on track and to know that salvation is through Christ and Christ alone, as scriptures tell us. You and I are saved by God's grace alone, and it's only faith and obedience to Christ alone that can save us. And this seems to be the biggest aspect of sharing our faith. We need to be sharing that true reality. And you know, when we start doing that, it will come together as we grow in grace. We'll learn how to do a better job of it. But we've got to start somewhere, and that's the reality where to start. All we can bring to salvation is our sins. Dever makes this comment. He basically says that we repent and Christ does the rest. He works. Works will not save us. And I don't know how many times we've preached that over and over and over again. And even the message we heard and the scriptures we heard this morning in Ephesians stress that works will never save us. And yet that seems to be the biggest struggle that people face in terms of coming to Christ. And even after they become Christians, it's all about works. And we get to this feeling that the more works we do, the more eligible or the better off we're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. It's not about that. Christ has done the work. Yes, we need to be doing things, but we need to understand it's not by works that we are saved. Fourthly, and this is perhaps the one that I want to spend the most time on this morning, the fourth reason to join a local church that is Christ-centered has to do with building up the church body. Being part of a local body of believers must involve covenanting together to love and to build each other up to accomplish Christ's purposes. Building each other up means that we understand that we all, everybody in this room, has different gifts according to the grace that God given to us by God. And Romans chapter 12, verse 6 talks about that. We all have different gifts. You know, it was interesting, just in the announcements this morning, that was expressed very succinctly as different people came up with their different announcements. You could see how God has gifted some of those people and their passions and what they want to see happen. But the thing to remember, folks, is that whatever the gift is that you have, your particular gift is no more important to God than anybody else's particular gift in the body of Christ. God uses the whole body for his purposes. So we can't stand and say, my gift is more important than yours because I do this and you do that. It's all for his glory, and he gifts us all in those ways. The purpose of all spiritual gifts is to build each other up in the faith, as 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12 talks about. And that's why when we go through Paul's writings, he spends so much time and gives us so much imagery on about the church working together for his purposes. Following Jesus must involve care and concern for each other. You know, as we've talked about often, being a part of this church body or any other church body means meeting together regularly to love and to spur each other on. I'm going to just turn, or I ask you to turn, to Hebrews chapter 10. Just going to read a couple of verses that speak on that subject. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter this most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who is promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching, the day of Christ's return. You know, friends, we need to understand very clearly that we are to spur each other on to good works. And as I said before, what a blessing to see these announcements and how God is using the various gifts and talents in our church to spur other believers on. You know, to hear many answers to prayer that went up on behalf of brothers and sisters. I know even this week we saw answers to prayer. You know, somebody came to me and shared how somebody became a Christian this weekend, and they were just exuberant about that. And we've seen answers to prayer in other areas that God has worked in on our behalf. And what a blessing that is. Well, you know, we're going to have a little application of this in our service today. At the end of today's service, we're going to have an opportunity to help a family through a special offering who could just use a bit of help over an unfortunate accident. And I'm going to invite Regan up in a little while to share a wee bit about that, and we'll take that offering. But the key question we need to ask ourselves is this: do we love people of God in our body enough to demonstrate it by getting involved in their lives? You know, sometimes I have to confess that, you know, you do get so tired that you just want to retreat to your castle and go home and watch the Saskatchewan Rough Riders get beat, or whatever the case is. I'm cheering for that, but I don't know. We'll see. But you want to do that. You know, we work hard, and yet God is calling all of us to get involved in the lives of other people in our body. As Jesus told his disciples and us, my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. It says that in John chapter 15, verse 12. And then as the Apostle John states so well in 1 John 3:18, he writes this: dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. You know, God expects to see action from us. He doesn't expect us to just pay lip service. He wants us to actually do what we say we do, instead of just saying we're doing it. Building up the local church body is a huge part of what membership is all about. Finally, church membership is all about the glory of God. The way you and I live our lives must be all about bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, when we pray in the morning as a worship group in this back room, that's partly our prayer, that God would be glorified through the music, through the sermon, through the announcements, through everything that happens in the service during this time. And we need to see that happen on a regular basis. Peter put it this way. He says, live such good lives among the pagans, in other words, those people who don't know Jesus Christ, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. And that's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. We're to be doing deeds so that God may be glorified, not so that we're showing ourselves to be great people or anything like that, but we're to be accepting the Spirit's promptings to do good deeds so that God will be glorified in those deeds that we do. As we live life together as believers, people see the common love and purpose that we have, and they bring him the glory. Peter grasped what Jesus said in Matthew 5:16 in the Sermon on the Mount, when he said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Well, church membership involves the love of Christ active in and through the body to glorify Jesus. And last week, not going to spend a lot of time on this, we looked at the New Testament church in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And I'm just going to repeat very quickly some of the key words that were stated in that passage. It says, in talking about the believers then, they devoted themselves in verse 42. It says they were filled with awe in verse 43. They were together in verse 44, and they had everything in common. They were willing to give to one another when they saw needs. They continued to meet together in verse 46. They broke bread, and they ate together in their homes in verse 46. They praised God and enjoyed the favor of each other in verse 47. And the Lord added to those who were being saved. And it's so exciting to hear that a person accepted the Lord this week. And my prayer is that we'll see much, much more of that happen in our midst. In all sincerity, I can say that this is the heart of your leadership today for Rocky Alliance Church. As we meet together as elders, we're praying that this would happen in all of our lives. And I know many of us want to see Rocky Alliance grow and make a difference in our community and world. And it's so evident as we hear things that are happening. We need to be a membership, a community of believers who work together to glorify Jesus Christ. And we need to love each other and respect each other in the process and help each other to do that. Membership in the body of the local body of Christ is all about committing to Christ and to each other. Deaver puts it this way when he says, church membership means being incorporated in practical ways into the body of Christ. It means traveling together as aliens and strangers in this world as we head to our heavenly home. Certainly, a mark of a healthy church is a biblical understanding of church membership. Well, my question to you today is this: are you in or are you out? If you desire to be a member and serve in the body, then talk to the elders if you haven't expressed that yet. Talk to myself and we'll help you in that process. We have a process of church membership, and it's really a covenant to say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be accountable to one another. It's nothing more than that. It's what the Bible is teaching about membership. Is your desire today to bring glory to Jesus or not? Or do you suffer from this commitment phobia that we are talking about or that we talked about earlier? I'm going to call on Regan right now, and he's just going to share a practical need. And as he's coming, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, would you help each other, each of us, Lord, each of us as your local body, to understand these truths more clearly. Father, would you help us to really embody what the scriptures talk about in terms of being your local body and helping each other and loving each other and encouraging each other? Would you enable us, Lord, to just do what you have commanded us to do and be obedient to you? And we're so thankful for your word that teaches us and shows us, Lord, what is your expectation and what you want us to do as your local body. So we just pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Regan, come on up. Just before the worship team shares, Regan's just going to share, a verse because he's got his Bible open, and just a practical need that we can help in this morning.
It's good to have other people's fingers that work for you. Over the last couple months, there has been a number of cases within our church congregation of what we would deem as benevolence opportunities, situations where people are living, trying to live and trying to manage without much. In some cases, there's very little. In some cases, just a temporary thing where you can see a light at the end of the rain, at the end of the window. Or at the end of the road, but there are some that don't have that opportunity as of yet. And as Christians, we want to be encouraged to give and put into those. I'm not going to mention any names, but we do have a number of cases in our church. At this present time, we want to be able to give to those people and those opportunities. I want to read a couple of verses out of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, in other words, waiting for the seventh year, the year for canceling debts is near, so that you may not, so that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you'll be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. And because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. Just wanted to share that this morning. We're going to have an offering at this time, a special offering towards our benevolent fund, we'll say, because it is short at this time, but we do have some very significant needs that we'd like to address and be able to bless into our congregation here at our church. So